Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hour two, no Vanessa, just me, Paul. You want to jump aboard? You can text in 713-780-3776. You can also call in at that very same number, 713-780-ESPN, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Your boy's voice, not in the best of shape. I was so dead yesterday doing brunch with friends. I went to brunch with some friends in Chicago after 2 days of a lot of drinking. And have you ever just not been hungry at all? You're looking at food, the mere idea of food, and there's really good food in front of me, makes you want to barf immediately. That was me. But I powered through and I'm back. And here we are today, talking about something else that might make you barf. The Deshaun Watson situation. Am I right, folks? So the NFL's legal tampering period just started right now, which I always found to be very amusing because everyone tampers all the time. It's very easy to tamper. You can do it on probably Snapchat, WhatsApp, or something like that if you don't want to have receipts. But teams talk to players. Players talk to players. And it's funny, hey, if it gets out into the public that you were trying to lure someone to your team before this opens, you can get punished. But it's dumb. It shouldn't actually be the case. But teams are doing this, I would imagine, right now with Deshaun Watson. And on Friday, we found out that Deshaun Watson will not face any criminal charges. They have declined a grand jury. They declined to indict him after the police investigation that came from lawsuits filed by 22 women who accused him of harassment and sexual assault. 9 no bills on the 9 criminal complaints sent to it, and only one person, the grand jury, had testified. That's it. Several women were present. They were ready to testify. 5 women, I guess, specifically were the others that were there. But they only wanted to hear testimony from one of the alleged victims. I'm surprised by that. You would think that they would want to hear more. Maybe they just wanted to get this over with, and maybe they realized that it was a pointless endeavor, given that Deshaun Watson wasn't going to say anything at it. But afterwards, we heard from a very emotional Deshaun Watson. This audio coming courtesy of the Houston Chronicle's Brooks Cabina.
Definitely a very emotional moment for me. I know we're far from being done of handling what we need to handle on the legal side, but today is definitely a big day, and I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Savior, for, you know, letting the truth be heard. And I thank everyone that was a part of this, of seeing and hearing both sides. That's what my point and my team wanted to do, is have a fair slate of us telling our side of the story, and letting the conclusion come down to what happened today, and that's what the grand jury decided on. So, yeah, thank you, and I stay my Lord and Savior, and just gonna keep fighting to rebuild my name and rebuild my appearance in the community.
I don't know how you're doing that. Your appearance in the community, let's forget about the whole 22 allegations. I mean, people don't like you here now, Deshaun. They're never going to like you either, and this has nothing to do with that. Again, you asked out. You basically quit on this organization after they gave you an extension. I get it. This is how things work in sports now, but that definitely happened. And look, he's emotional. I think he was probably concerned that there was a possibility that he maybe would get indicted, that he could face actual criminal charges here. But the way that things happened and the way that these two, both Deshaun Watson and Dave Mulugeta, tweeted afterwards, it just rubs me the wrong way. That's an unfortunate choice of words. When you stand on the truth, tweeted Watson, the Lord will free you. David Mulugeta said, keep the same energy. What? Are you completely exonerated? I mean, this is one of the most, like, creepy things, worst case scenario, that we have seen in football history. This is extremely creepy. Bare minimum. There's not 22 allegations being made if there's not something that's weird going on here. And I guess we'll hear more from them on Tuesday, but we haven't heard their side of the story at all. And what is your side of the story for Deshaun Watson? What is your side? How are you able to counter any of the things that have been put out there, made public, like that report in Sports Illustrated, which gave extremely graphic details of what was supposedly happening? Okay, maybe it wasn't all true. Maybe only some of it was true. But that it's out there and that you still haven't said anything because you probably don't want to perjure yourself or something like that when you're under oath. When are we actually going to get your side? We haven't. We're just supposed to move on? How? If it was one or two, okay. 22. So I don't like that tone that they came with us over the weekend, both Watson and Mulugeta. Like, you guys are acting like everything's fine now. I mean, from a criminal perspective, sure, fine. But what's going to happen when, in the civil court, you're in front of the microphone? What are you going to say? How low will you stoop to exonerate yourself, to paint yourself in a better light than you actually were? And I would imagine along the way, perhaps shame some of the alleged victims here. You know, because that's the way things go. That's how these things work. We'll see. I didn't like the tone there. The tone that Watson had when he's in front of the microphone right there, where you can hear legit emotion, where he's like, okay, this is somewhat behind me. Like, I get that. But this touchdown dance that essentially he had with the tweet, which essentially says, one more time, when you stand on the truth, the Lord will free you. You didn't say any truth. You did what Rusty Harden said you were going to do, which was nothing. Say nothing. Congratulations, I get. I will keep the same energy, Dave Mulugeta. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It is Vanessa and Gallant. No Vanessa Richardson. She will be back tomorrow. Just me, hoarse voice, ate a bunch of vitamins this morning. That was my breakfast. I wasn't sure if I could eat anything, so I just ate a vitamin C and one of those turmeric things, because turmeric's all the rage these days. Calcium vitamin, Centrum Silver. Just kidding. One of those multivitamin deals too. Oh yeah, what a grand old time. We're also keeping an eye on Carlos Correa, and things are looking pretty good for the Astros right now. I'm surprised that they are looking as favorable for them. I was under the assumption when the offseason began that Carlos Correa was not going to be a part of the Houston Astros. But we saw from Buster Olney that there's the possibility of a deal that would give him an option to go back into free agency after a year. The details. Agents have been predicting for weeks, tweeted Buster Olney about 2 hours ago, that Correa could take a deal in the range of 6 years with the Astros at a high salary with an opt-out after the first year. Mitigate some of the risk for him, and Houston would get a key player back. Jim Crane has zero interest in rebuilding. And when we saw that Verlander deal that was signed, where Verlander has to meet specifics to continue to get paid what he has been getting paid over the last couple of years, I saw that, and I think a lot of people, we all were on the same wavelength here. We thought, okay, so it's a little different when we're talking about a pitcher who's in his late 30s. But is Carlos Correa going to be open to something like that, that maybe has all sorts of different possibilities? The 10-year, $300 to $400 million contract is a suicidal thing for most baseball teams to do. They shouldn't do it. It has not netted wins. I get it. That's not generally why you're giving a player in a sport that's as individualized as baseball a big-time contract. Like, that's not a direct tie between having a $300 million player and being a better team. But, I mean, if you take a look at what happened today, you should be very hesitant to give anybody a big-time deal. Fernando Tatis fractured his wrist today. That's not good. That's from 10 minutes ago. Fernando Tatis has a fractured wrist, up to 3 months of recovery time. And remember, it wasn't that long ago that we saw Fernando Tatis get that absolutely massive contract that perhaps was a little bit premature. And I say that because, look, it's early on in his career. He's a lot of fun, clearly. One of the most fun players to watch in baseball. He has been an absolute home run machine, but he fractured his wrist during the offseason. Several months out. Who knows? Up to 3 months. It's a wrist. What wrist are we talking about here? Is he going to be the same batter when he comes back in? You know, that's not a guarantee at all. Wrists are concerning, I would say for hitters especially. And they gave him an absolutely massive contract. Honestly, I forget the details off the top of my head. 14 years, $340 million. 14! No, look, the salary is kind of pushed back in a way where, hey, it's not going to cost the Padres a lot of money right now, but down the road it sure will. And all of a sudden, an injury. I mean, he's been banged up a couple of times, too. The guy goes hard. Well, it doesn't always work out. Ask Ken Griffey Jr. about that, too. Ken Griffey Jr., one of the best players in baseball history, constantly hurt. Played a little bit reckless. Tatis plays a little reckless, too. What happens? $300 million contract. So I see this, and it's almost like more of a reason for the Astros to not give that big-time deal to Carlos Correa. But at the same time, if you're Carlos Correa, I'm looking at the Tatis injury, and I'm like, that's the deal I need. I need to have a deal like that. Who knows what's going to happen? I've had a lot of injuries already. What if that one-year option, all of a sudden, he gets hurt, he misses another 60, 70 games or something like that, which he has a couple of times in his career? I'm Paul Gallant. What do you want to do about Carlos Correa here? I mean, it seems like everything is now moving to a point where he's going to be back on the team this coming season. But 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. How can you make both sides happy here? Sounds like things are very promising for Carlos Correa. But I want them to be promising not just for this year. I want him to be around for a good amount of time. Is there actually a way that that can happen, where we're not in this exact same spot that we are right now with Correa next offseason? Let's talk about that. Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
No Vanessa today. She'll be back tomorrow. So it's just me, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes behind the glass. Sean brought this story to my attention. Pete Alonso had his car flipped yesterday. He's driving. He gets T-boned at an intersection of the New York Mets, Pete Alonso. You might remember him from the home run derby. And he just got T-boned just driving through an intersection. Had to kick out his windshield so that he could go out of it. Driver ran a red light, T-boned him. The car flipped over 3 times. There he is. Back in spring training the next day. I'm not going to lie. I would be traumatized by something like that for a very long time.
As I was reading the tweet, I was like, so how long is he going to be out? And then it's like, oh, no, he's taking grounders right now.
I mean, Sean, clearly the man has chutzpah. Clearly the man has some toughness, some mental fortitude. Good
literally,
God.
Literally built different.
Yeah, because, I mean, next, okay, you go back in the batter's box after your car just got T-boned. Do you want to be facing 100-mile-per-hour fastballs again? I don't know. I wouldn't.
Maybe on the other hand, it's, well, I just flipped my car 3 times. What's a fastball going to do to me?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I wouldn't want to drive ever again.
No, I would definitely would not show up to work after flipping my car.
Is that an acceptable excuse? Like, if we called HR and said, like, hey, like, if say we were in a car wreck, like, do we have to still come to work? Some places are like, hey, you're just expected to show up on time, even if something like that happens. But good God. I'm guessing this is a big day for big seatbelt. Always wear your seatbelt. You know, fun story. When I was a little kid, you see all those click it or ticket ads. My mom always made me, and never directly told me this, but always made me believe that if I did not wear a seatbelt, the car would get into an accident. Like that, I thought the point of the seatbelts were, if you don't wear the seatbelt, the car will crash. I'm not going to lie. If I ever have kids, I'm telling them that. But there was a time once where I remember the town I was growing up in Massachusetts. I'm 5 years old, and I couldn't get the seat buckled. So I'm like having a little conniption panic attack in the back seat. Like, Mom, the seatbelt's not buckled. It's not buckled. It's not buckled. Like just yelling it. And I think, you know, my mom had other things to do and, or was laughing inwardly that she had brainwashed me into believing that the car would spontaneously combust because I did not have my seatbelt on. But it worked. So, yeah, I'm guessing Pete Alonso wore his seatbelt. Good God. Flipped over three times. And it's weird to just think of, too, because Pete Alonso's a big guy in a car like that. How hard that car that is carrying a big guy was hit to flip over three times. Again, it's not like Pete Alonso was going to change that or affect that in any
way.
Yeah,
he's still only like 200-something pounds. But mentally, you're like, wow,
yeah.
Flipped a six-foot-four guy?
Yeah, it's nuts. Anyway, so good to hear that Pete Alonso is okay. And a very interesting story. As far as the Astros and Carlos Correa, there's a piece that Ken Rosenthal had up in The Athletic. And the piece starts off reading, close your eyes. And you can picture Scott Boras at the news conference explaining why Carlos Correa signed a one-year, $45 million contract to return to the Astros. So he gave a fake quote that maybe Boras would say, and it said, we were left with too short a timetable, too few shortstop openings. By next offseason, the industry will be in much more robust state, and Carlos will still be the best and youngest shortstop on the market. In the meantime, Carlos will be like a bird rejoining his flock, blah, 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 blah. That's a weird comment. Yeah, I think Ken Rosenthal was just having a little fun with wordplay on a Sunday. 5 years, $160 million was the offer before. Are they going to offer more than that? Because I would think that you have to. Even if there is something where it would just be a one-year deal, you would have to offer more than that in some way, shape, or form. Because 5 years, $160 million, doing a little math here. What are we talking about here? Like $30 million a year? Huh? Five, 160 divided by five. $35 million a year? $32 million a year? Paul can't do math on the air. It's something like that. You got to offer more than that. Would they be willing to offer him a one-year $50 million deal or something like that? I think they should, honestly. I think you do whatever you possibly can to keep this core intact. Maybe not for as long as possible. Is he going to accept that, though? And is there a possibility that, say, he does sign some deal where there's a one-year opt-out? Is there a chance that you can convince him to not opt out? Or does that only happen in a world where Carlos Correa gets hurt and misses a bunch of time again? Because that's something that has happened a lot. Remember when he got his massage, allegedly, his lady, perhaps gave him too hard of a massage? That just sounds painful. Like, what was she doing? Walking on his back in heels? I don't know. I've never gotten a massage. I wouldn't know any of these things, you know? I'm just cheap. Probably would be nice. Maybe I should just be like one of those weirdos and buy one of those Theraguns. I've seen a lot of commercial for those of late. I was watching yesterday at the airport before I flew out. There was this advertisement where there's this person who's just sitting on the couch while her family is like basically beating each other to death slash yelling at each other. And she's just like in a moment of zen with a Theragun on her arm. I was just like, this is weird. $200 for that? Oh, yeah. It feels so good massaging my bicep.
The crazy part's when they start doing like the neck where they like show it like how it's supposed to be. I'm like, it looks like you're just getting jabbed in the neck.
Seriously. It's like a drill. Bam, 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 really fast. I feel like I would screw it up, especially if I were doing it on the neck.
Yeah, it's like I'd pinch a nerve or something.
Yeah. Or just mess up my spinal cord. I mean, I'm a klutz. I hit my head generally 3 to 4 times a week accidentally. You know, there's this... I don't like how a lot of apartments in Houston are designed for people that are much shorter than me. At least it feels that way. Because there's this basically a cabinet that is at a height in this apartment that I moved into, which is terrible. I can go into details about how literally poopy it is. But this shelf is, like, for some reason, at a height of 5'2", and it's right above the toilet. But when... So, every now and then, yeah... I'm hitting my head.
Pop up.
Well, yeah. So, you know, plopping down and then popping up. Right. It hurts. Do I have brain damage? Yes, definitively. See, I don't even remember where I was going on this segment. Oh, yeah, Theraguns. Yep, so we went down that rabbit hole. That was fun. Not talking about Carlos Correa. The number to jump aboard, if you so choose. I want to call in the old-fashioned way. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Vanessa out. She'll be back tomorrow. At Gallant says on Twitter for me, at Sports Vanessa for Vanessa. What do you think is going to happen with the Carlos Correa deal? And is there even a team that you're nervous about? Is there a team that you're looking at and thinking to yourself that they can get back in? I guess I was nervous about the Yankees, but I couldn't just picture Carlos Correa wearing a Yankees jersey ever. Just couldn't do it. I guess it's different than the Dodgers, who he was really calling out in that minute-long video that he did. But is he going to be on a team of that ilk? Take a look at MLBTradeRumors.com. The Astros have stepped up efforts to bring back Correa to the point where Jim Crane is involved. And the Yankees, because they acquired Isaiah Kiner-Falefa from the Twins, that's pretty much a, yeah, they're not going to bring in a shortstop probably. So the Yankees are out. Maybe you can continue to play hardball. You don't need to do anything in the near future. Obviously, you don't want negotiations to get to a point where all of a sudden Carlos Correa is not coming back, but I really do think that you have a little bit of good favor in your corner. Yes, not from Scott Boras, but just from the fact that Carlos Correa legitimately seems to love it here. And the teams that are supposedly in on potentially bringing him in, I think right now it's the Astros. I believe that the Tigers are kind of falling out, and the Chicago Cubs are also in. And the Cubs are a team that definitely has that kind of money and I think would be smart to spend on someone like Carlos Correa. Because they've been kind of a mess last couple of years. How did they get all that money? The dynamic of the Chicago Cubs in Chicago fascinates me. I mean, they're by far the most liked baseball team in that city. And yet, I mean, what? Why? I don't get it. I don't get it because, like, they've just traditionally, yeah, they've had a couple of good years recently, and they won the World Series, of course, not too long ago, finally, for the first time in a really long time. And Theo Epstein was able to build that together. But, like, before that, I mean, it was pretty rough for a long period of time. 1908, long time. Why does Chicago love the Cubs so much? You know, the White Sox won a World Series, obviously, over the Astros a lot more recently for a while, and no one ever jumped on over to the White Sox. It's because no one wants to go to the South Side or something like that. Anyway, these were thoughts that I had when I went to Chicago yesterday. Paul, stop talking about your vacation and how hungover you are. Fine. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant right here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Oh, you'll never believe who the Texans brought in. You'll never believe who they just signed. We'll tell you next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Just Paul today. You're seriously never going to guess who the Texans just signed. You probably didn't know who he was. Anthony Auclair, come on down. He's back. 5 catches last year. Let's go. What bothers me about what the Texans aren't doing, look, I'm not expecting them to sign anyone to a big contract. But I would like to see them try to get somebody who is a decent veteran leader. Overpay for said decent veteran leader. And I would like to see less of the one-year contracts given out to just random, you know, just another guy players. Again, you're not hurting yourself by signing these guys, but you're not really making yourself any better, you know? We also got some news across the NFL. Jarvis Landry, wide receiver, the Browns, just released him. This comes on the heels of the Amari Cooper trade, which they made over the weekend. That's really, I guess, the biggest story that took place in the NFL as far as an actual transaction. 5th-round pick and a 6th-round pick. That's it. That's all they got. Not that much. Okay, so on the Carlos Correa front, the deal that the Tigers, I guess, had offered, which is, I'm assuming, in some way, shape, or form, what the Astros are going to have to match on an average per year kind of basis. They offered him a 10-year, $275 million contract. So I would imagine that you're going to have some kind of a deal that has that option. You know, I get the idea that, okay, you're going to do a one-year deal where maybe that deal can turn into longer and you're going to give Correa that kind of flexibility. But I don't think it's going to be the kind of two-way street that I think some of us are hoping, where Correa is going to have the ability to just sign a one-year deal and then down the road or something like that, there's an option for the Astros to maybe move on from him, say he doesn't meet a certain amount of games or something like that. Because I don't see why, if you're 27-year-old Carlos Correa and this is the first time that you're going to be in a big-time negotiating war, I don't think that you're just going to say, yeah, this makes sense to me. Yeah, I'm going to do something that helps you out in any that helps out you as an organization. I don't know. I mean, I would love to see him take a hometown discount because he loves it here and he loves all his teammates and stuff like that. But, man, I don't know about that one. The Tom Brady news over the weekend, which on Sunday, Tom Brady announced that he's returning as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers starting quarterback. It is kind of funny from this perspective. I mean, it took him 2 months to make this decision. He said, unfinished business. What are you talking about? Unfinished business. You're Tom Brady. 7 Super Bowls. How many? 15 playoff years with playoff victories, 15 playoff appearances. I don't even know. I don't even know anymore. Like, there's such a long list. Maybe it's 15-time Pro Bowler. Shoot, I really do not know on that front. But what is really driving him? Is he really going to play until he is 50? And I think that it's possible. I feel like this entire move this offseason was him trying to get out of Tampa Bay. It was him trying to not work with Bruce Arians anymore. Maybe get to San Francisco, like some have suggested he would want to play in. But it's just to come back and put that in there. I get that you're Tom Brady, but it's the most hard-o thing ever. Unfinished business. No, you can't say that. The business been finished. It's been finished for a long time. I don't even think anyone's doubting him anymore as whether or not he can still be the same player he was this past year, where he's setting all sorts of numbers at the age of, 45? Just something else. Television right now has, hey, what team is the ideal landing spot for Deshaun Watson? It's the worst part about this whole thing. I feel like Deshaun should have to waive his no-trade clause just because we're all sick and tired of this crap. And because the Texans, I'm assuming, haven't played hardball with him throughout this whole process. They've kind of been pushovers like the Rockets were with James Harden. It's annoying. I feel like if you're Deshaun Watson, how about let's call it even? How about, you know, that no trade clause? Yeah, let's forget about that. But I don't know how they're going to convince him to feel that way. The Saints and the Panthers are the two teams that we are hearing yeah, we're trying, just like we heard with the Washington Commanders before they decided to trade for Carson Wentz. The teams that have been loudest about their being in on the sweepstakes, those are the teams that don't seem to have a whole lot to offer. And it should make you remember every single time that you see a team go out there and say publicly, or have someone, one of the talking heads, reporters, etc., say something along the lines of, this team is interested in Deshaun Watson. The reason they're doing that is probably because they're not actually in. These are things that you do to say, well, we're trying. Give us a cookie. Give us a pat on the back. We tried. We're the Washington Commanders. We explored every single option at quarterback and then ended up with Carson Wentz. Congratulations on that flex. I thought that was really funny how a couple of days before that trade went down, they said, yes, we've made a phone call to every single team with a quarterback in the NFL, including the Kansas City Chiefs, who I'm sure were like, yeah, and just hung up. That's it. Yeah. Some sort of a noise, generic noise like that. So the Saints, they're not going to make that happen. And I really don't see it with the Panthers either. The Panthers at least have, I guess, what you're looking for, but I don't see why Watson would waive a no-trade clause to go play with Ben McAdoo. Ben McAdoo, by the way, as far as trying to figure out his style, has anyone ever done it in a more public setting? Ben McAdoo wears oversized coats, like really oversized suits, like comically oversized. Like, looks like he stole this off of the Kingpin from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Just a massive, absolutely massive suit. It's like wearing it like a parachute around. We also saw him with this like Tweedledee haircut. Thought that was okay. And then when I think someone told him, yeah, this doesn't look so good on you, bro, he decided to like slick back his hair. And he looked essentially like somebody that would be the third marginal mafia member in a 1920s mafia movie. Some like fat cat guy with his hair slicked back. Didn't look very good. Didn't look very good. So he's going to go, Ben McAdoo, he's going to be in charge of where Deshaun Watson's playing. If you're Deshaun Watson, why would you want to play for that guy? And I would just say entirely based off of the way he looks, not based on his track record with the New York Giants. We're not even going to get to that point. We're just going to look at you and swipe left immediately. No, you are done. By the way, I speaking of swiping, I told myself I was never going to get back on any of the dating apps. But then I went to Chicago and whoops. I got on the apps. I paid extra too. Why? Was it because I was in big needing of a bonk? Yes, that was the case. We're all over the place right now. So we'll see what happens on the Deshaun Watson front. But the news from on Friday is that, okay, he's not going to face any criminal charges. Well, if he's not going to face any criminal charges, what happens in civil court this week? We'll find out. But I would imagine we're not going to get his truth, his side of the story. And it was weird to hear him at his press conference afterwards talk about our side of the story and how the truth will set you free and all this other stuff. Because we're not going to actually hear any of that. Does he still feel a need to publicly exonerate himself? I would assume so. I think anyone that were in his shoes would want to distance himself from this as best as they can. I just don't know. I just don't know how you do it. There's no putting this back in the bag. That's for damn sure. But the tone with which they operated afterwards, gross. Just a little bit gross. If you want to jump in, 713-780-3776 is how you call in. You can text in at that same number too. twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can watch me. You can see how dead I look inside. It's miserable experiences just yesterday. I don't know why I thought it would be smart to try to eat food. It's never a good sign either when your stomach hurts and the only way your stomach feels better after drinking with your friends for St. Patrick's Day weekend for the majority of the weekend is that you continue to drink. What is it about that actually continuing to drink makes you feel a little bit better than opposed to just sitting and staring at your plate at brunch? I had some really nice avocado toast, and I couldn't eat it, Sean. I couldn't eat it. I just stared at it, and I wanted to puke the entire time. And, yeah, had three or four Technicolor yawns in the bathroom.
I was about to ask you what was on the plate for brunch, because you mentioned that you could only stare at it.
I could only stare at it, yep. And it looked really good. And then I gave myself, like, I cut, like, a little slice of it for myself. And I put it in my mouth. And then I had to immediately go to the bathroom. My friends were like, don't puke on us, please. Thank you. St. Patrick's Day, people. It is a marathon, not a sprint. And I sprinted along the way on that marathon. I mean, I still haven't eaten anything. Like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to eat again.
You don't know when it's safe to go back.
Seriously, Sean, I know. I have no idea. And I mean, this, you know, the coffee that I was too lazy to make myself a new cup of coffee in the break room or a new pot. So I was like, screw it. Let's have the cold coffee that might have been here for, I don't know, the entire weekend or something like that. And
didn't help.
I mean, I didn't puke, but yeah, it's not feeling so great. Paul, why are we listening to you talk about binge drinking and being, you know, a total degenerate? I don't know. It's a great question. We'll keep you posted on everything going on with Carlos Correa. One last segment to go. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
The Carolina Panthers have had a pretty busy day, and while again, I don't see Deshaun Watson waiving his no-trade clause to go to Carolina to play for head coach Matt Rhule, who I do not think will survive the year, and Ben McAdoo as offensive coordinator, because Ben McAdoo looks ridiculous. Sorry, that's how I would be operating if I were in Deshaun Watson's shoes, even if I were to get back to Charlotte, closer to Clemson, where people, I think, have perhaps a greater affinity for him than perhaps anywhere in the country, because clearly it does not exist here anymore. But the Panthers have had a busy day. They cut Morgan Fox, which saved them $2.3 million. And then, a little bit ago, they cut A.J. Boye. Remember him? Former Texas corner? He's pretty bummed out when he ended up signing that big deal with Jacksonville, thinking, oh, well, this is a big guy to lose. And it didn't really work out so well. He got called for a lot of penalties, pass interferences and stuff. But after they released A.J. Boye, the Panthers now have $32 million worth of cap space to potentially bring in Deshaun Watson. So I'm assuming to potentially bring in Deshaun Watson. But they have been very active creating space. There have been some other moves that have happened, but you know, we're all trying to figure out what the hell is going to happen with Deshaun Watson, where he's going to end up after no criminal charges were thrown at him via indictment on Friday. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. You can also come after on Twitch. A couple of people have some questions from the last segment. They're asking why I got back on Tinder. And they're asking why I used the word bonk. So bonk is a word, guys, in case you haven't heard it, when someone's acting a little, you know, when they're acting a little horny, it's when you give them the bonk. You say bonk, it's a horny bonk. If someone's acting too horny, you bonk them to stop them. It's like a, you know, smacking a pet, I guess, which kind of sounds messed up.
Or the water, the shooting the little water spritz at them.
Thank you, Sean. That makes a lot more sense.
It's an internet version of the right. Little, hey, stop that.
Because you can't smack your pets anymore. Back when I was a kid, you could beat your pets. Like, geez, no, I'm not saying that. I'm kidding. But yeah, it's essentially like a squirt bottle. And sometimes people need it. And yeah, I had a couple of beverages, and there were attractive people out and about in Chicago for St. Patrick's Day. And I thought, you know what? Well, I do have this really nice hotel room. I mean, I may as well give myself as many options as I possibly could, right? So yeah, I got back on Tinder, and I did this thing where I paid to be a Tinder VIP. I spent stupid money on this app. And the worst part is I matched with like zero people on the apps. So it was completely pointless, just wasted my money. Your boy ugly, at least in the eyes of those Chicago ladies. The Jet on Twitch says, Paul, you need water, man. That is a good question. Yeah. I mean, I do have some right here. I'm drinking, I'm hydrating, but I didn't drink any water yesterday. That was a mistake. I had a margarita. I had a Bloody Mary that was like a tequila infused Bloody Mary. It was really good. There's this Mexican restaurant in Chicago called Barrio. It's very good. Very tasty. OG from H-Town says, is there a bonk button on Grindr? I don't know. Never been on it. Should I go on it? Should I go on an app like that? I don't know. Who's to say? Paul, whoa. What are you talking about here? It's a great question. Are you learning new things about me? Are you confirming the beliefs that you maybe had about me already? Or am I just being weird? It's usually the latter. So we'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson. I think we will get a little bit of extra clarity on Deshaun Watson as far as what civil charges he might be facing, what kind of fine he potentially could end up getting as a part of that, settlement. We haven't really seen anything as far as what the NFL might do with him suspension-wise. I'm under the assumption, though, that he is going to be suspended for a good bit. No 6-game suspension, no 8-game suspension, nothing like that. 22. Like, you know, that whole side of it really makes me wonder, like, how can you, if you're the NFL, just be like, yeah, it's fine. It was like 3, 4, okay, 22. But, I mean, with the way that Deshaun and Dave Mulligetta were acting over the very loud, we got a very loud bunch of coworkers, don't we, Sean Mapes? Good God.
It sounded like someone was like running behind me.
Yeah. I heard someone just clomping around down the hallways. I mean, Joel's definitely here. You're Joel a mile away. No, it's funny.
It sounded like a basketball. Like there's some sneaker squeaks.
Oh, there's squeaks going on too?
That's what I heard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe an impromptu basketball game going on down the hallways. I like it. Fun. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson. And the other stuff that we have today, it does seem like Carlos Correa will be back with the Houston Astros. Or at least that the chances of it happening are pretty high. And by pretty high, we're not talking like 50-50. We're talking probably in the 75 range or so. Because who is going to give Carlos Correa that big-time deal? With the way things are going right now. It just doesn't seem like there's that much of a market outside of maybe Chicago. And, you know, if the Detroit Tigers offered something like, what, 10 years for $275 million, that doesn't seem like it's honestly a whole lot. If you're Carlos Correa, I think you could probably get more next offseason with just all the big things that you've done over the course of your career. Okay, maybe the injury history has a lot of people concerned about, you know, hey, he's not going to be there as much as you need him to be. But I think along this time that with Correa, all the guys that really have the juice to pay him that are winning teams, it feels like it's over. You know, the Yankees specifically being out. They made a trade this weekend. They traded for Josh Donaldson. They also got a shortstop from the Minnesota Twins. Doesn't seem like the Yankees are in on the conversations anymore. So who else is? Seems like it's just those three. I guess the Chicago Cubs right now, the Houston Astros, of course, and I guess kind of the Detroit Tigers. But I think we've gotten to the point with the Detroit Tigers where they're like, yeah. Would you want to play for the Detroit Tigers? No, I wouldn't. Do you want to play for the Chicago Cubs? I think I could sell myself on the Chicago Cubs. I think Correa would actually be a pretty well-liked star in Chicago.
Yeah, and it's obvious he cares, A, about the money with Scott Boras, but he also does care about being kind of the face of baseball or the face of a franchise.
I think he does, too. I think you're right on that, Sean. I think that's important to a lot of guys out there. And, you know, with how high-profile he was over the course of, like, you know, just the video that he did. I love that video. The video is so amazing. He did 20 minutes just like looking straight into the camera.
He dropped a, if you read the report, and I'm not sure if you're able to read Cody Bellinger. Like he was very aggressive.
It's fantastic. I have a couple of Dodger fan friends, and he's not an aggressive Dodger fan friend, but the one that I talk with the most. But these conversations that we've been having over the last couple of years about just baseball in general, they've been very, very hostile. And I think he wants, like, Carlos Correa suspended from baseball for life. Same thing with Jose Altuve. I think he's one of those truthers that thought that, oh, my God, look, he's got a beeper on his shoulder. He doesn't want to take his shirt off. Questionable. Although it is questionable. I mean, who doesn't want to take their shirt off all the time? It's me. But, Paul, you'll blind everyone. Yes. That's the point. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. You can text in, too, at that very same number. This was a story that took place in Russia. We saw a protest. What was the protest for? Was it against the war? No. It was a protest against the closure of all McDonald's chains in Russia. One man who did not want to see his fast food favorite leave decided, I guess, to chain himself outside of a McDonald's in Russia. So, okay, he might not die. Like, Putin might not take him and put him in jail or something like that. But, okay, if we're talking about fast food chains that we're willing to stand up for, how low are you going before you say that, yeah, I would do this for McDonald's? And listen, I don't want to, you know, besmirch a sponsor. I'm sure that McDonald's is being McDonald's is doing fine, but McDonald's is very low for me on the fast food power rankings. You know, and I don't eat fast food a whole lot, but there's only two like that I actively try to not go to, unless I'm going to McDonald's to get apple pies. The apple pies are different, but it's McDonald's and it's Taco Bell. And I can't even think about which one I would have beneath the other, but both. Ugh. I don't get it. So you're going to risk, you know, your life protesting in Russia because McDonald's is gone? I guess they have no other options, right?
That's got to be what it is, that they can't chain themselves to a Chick-fil-A or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I would chain myself to a Chick-fil-A. I mean, I essentially did that. There are people in Seattle that think that, like, I'm a just terrible bigot because I eat at Chick-fil-A. I'm not kidding. No, you laugh. I almost got canceled in Seattle for liking Chick-fil-A. I mentioned...
I forgot about the you know, the social aspect.
Yeah, the social aspect. Whatever. Who cares? It's a chicken sandwich. Like, the chicken sandwich does not have feelings. It is going into my belly.
Is the definition of blood money?
Yes. I mean, it's tasty.
Yeah.
So, I mean, shoot. That's where I'm at. But, yeah. I've always wondered this about the McDonald's folks out there, and I know we're hitting the road in a very weird way, but okay. You like it better than like Burger King, Wendy's? Like I feel like those two, they've lapped you. Like, I don't think that you're in the same ballpark as them. What is it, the fries? How often have you had fries there? And you know, they're not as warm as you need them to be, and isn't that the whole point? Like I hear the fries at McDonald's are great, but if they're not always warm, then do you want to go there?
Also, you're not selling me on, yeah, I'll just get a large fries. That's it. Maybe a drink. No, I want a meal, please.
Yeah, I would like a meal, and I just feel like you're going to butcher my order every single time. Unless I get the chicken tenders. The chicken selects, you know what? If they bring back the chicken selects, I'll take back everything I said. Chicken selects were good. All right, big thanks to Sean Mays behind the glass for taking care of things today, and sorry that you had to endure just me for 2 hours, but don't worry, back tomorrow, Vanessa Richardson will be back. It is Vanessa and Gallant. Coming up next, you got the Killer Bees, you got Joel Blank, you got Jeremy Branham. So long, farewell, you have yourselves a wonderful Monday.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.